You're from Alaska. How did you end up exhibiting in Monmouth, Illinois?
Well, I like to come home for the holidays, and my family, most of the core family, lives here. And it was an excuse to come back and see them for the holidays and also bring some of my original artwork home with me.
Had you talked to the gallery director, Susan Toomey, before? Did you know her?
Yeah, about a year and a half ago I began conversations with her, and we're looking at a time slot, and I said December is absolutely perfect because I can be home for Christmas and bring everything home and give a few things away. I love this. We're doing a raffle here for about $2,000 worth of stuff. This is all stuff I've collected from Alaska to give away to my local town people.
And your local town, is it Monmouth? Or?
I was born here in Monmouth, and I grew up in Kirkwood, which is a small town right next to here.
All right. Can we talk a little? How did you end up in Alaska?
A family member lives up there and needed to re-insulate their home in a remodeling project. And I flew up there to work for a month just to help them out and fell in love with that state immediately. It's a beautiful state.
Does it pose challenges for you as an artist?
It actually benefits as an artist, because I like to paint at temperatures negative 20 to negative 40, and it's one of the rare places on the planet you can do that. And I paint with vodka so it doesn't freeze at those temperatures too, and it's a very rare medium. Therefore, Alaska's probably the best place to make those kind of paintings at.
Well, how did you get started painting with vodka, or was that out of necessity once you were in Alaska?
No, complete accident. I was actually dyeing some Carhartt jeans, and I used the vodka to see if it would stain with the pigment better, and learned it can make a paint out of it. And I kind of like the arts to begin with, and for the last 3 years I've been inventing new types of paintings and paint to paint with.
Oh, what sort of things have you invented?
I paint with knives and machetes. That's how I got the nickname the most dangerous artist, because I whip blades around and flick them on canvases, and they're called carved canvases because I make long broadstokes with the blades. I have over 14 copyrights now on different techniques, including vodka scaping. I make flowers bloom with gin. I'll actually paint with juniper gin, the gin that comes out of the juniper tree, and we call them gin blossoms. And they actually drop the gin on the paper and they actually bloom in real time right in front of you. They're really beautiful. So,
Was that an accident, or is that an old technique?
No, it's a new technique I invented. It just happened to be because I was just testing out some of the paint I made out of gin, and I was just dropping it onto the paper and it started growing new things. And that's how a lot of my artwork begins, out of accidents and a lot of failure.
And you're using not just vodka, but I saw coffee is a common ingredient in your paint, I guess. How did you get started with that?
Coffee, the part of the planet I live in, the coffee is huge up there. I mean, it's a staple. And I live near the city of North Pole, and they have a really excellent coffee company there. And I just wanted it inside of my paintings. The other one, wine, we have two wineries that give me wine to paint with up there, and just great wines. And who doesn't want a painting made out of wine, I guess. So,
how much of it do you drink and how much do you paint with?
I'm not a big drinker. That's the biggest misnomer of me. They think I'm there getting loaded while I'm making a painting. That just doesn't happen. I reserve most of this high-grade alcohol for the paintings. It takes a lot of failure to make a batch of paint, so therefore I need a lot of liquor sitting around for that.
And what about coffee? Are you a big coffee drinker?
I'm a tea drinker.
Do you paint with tea at all?
No, I haven't tried that yet. It's not the opacity is too much. It'd take a lot of layers of tea to make one painting. And the coffee I actually mix with walnut ink now, which is made in this area. I use the rotten walnuts. If I don't know where you grew up at, but you hole the walnuts, you get the dark stains on your hand. Mm-hmm. And that led to me making walnut ink. And the walnut ink is a very light, fast ink, and it works very well for paintings.
A lot of your paintings, you explain, you have a little paragraph underneath, you explain the materials you used, and a lot of them add, and good times are part of the ingredients. Why do you add that in there?
Good Migrations Studio, we do a lot more things besides just painting. We go out in the public and do fun stuff. We go out with free hug t-shirts. We do, we'll go out as fashion police with pink hats on and give out free hugs to that. And it's not when we say fashion police, we're not out there to say, hey, you need to change the outfit you're wearing. We're saying, hey, that's a really nice outfit. Let me give you a free t-shirt. And we try to spread it. So we give a free hug t-shirt to them. They go hug somebody else, and it's kind of contagious. And it's about having good times with other people.
How easily can you get art materials, and how much are you improvising stuff? For example, you have a series of hearts in a piece here, and it's made out of birch bark, correct?
Over this last summer, I've been getting my pilot's license to fly bush planes. I get to travel quite a bit and do some really awesome hikes in a remote place in Alaska. And there's birch trees all over our state at lower elevations. So what I'll do is, if it's a down birch tree, and I'll go out into the river, and I'll collect the loose bark off the birch tree, I clip the bark, and then I soak it in a special ice wine made in Alaska. It's a winery mix called Alaskan Gold Ice Wine. And this birch bark soaks in the wine. And then this is just a collection. They're all geocached based on location. So let's say I hike in one part of the state, I grab bark from there, I go to another part of the state, and they all start to combine to make one image with a different, so they're all geocached and geolocated.
Is that out of necessity that you use materials like that, or is that just something you wanted to try and discovered you liked?
Lots of experimentation, constantly trying new things out in the studio, seeing what works, what doesn't. The deadliest painting, which is going to start being forming this next year, be traveling to remote jungles. I'm going to be diving under the ocean to get ingredients far further away from home than my home state of Alaska.
What are you looking for?
Well, it's kind of a secret for right now. But
you are looking specifically for something then. You're not just going out and seeing what you find.
It's been a year and a half of mapping the planet to find what I'm looking for. And it's going to be a lot of life risk situations to get into those places. And at the same time, I'll be working with impoverished children at the same time. I'll be going across enemy lines and working on a grand mural from other nations, too. It'll be children from all over the nation to help me build one painting also.
I see with some of your paintings that proceeds benefit children in Asia, for example. Mm-hmm. Do you travel a lot? And how did you get started with trying to help children in other countries?
I get a lot of calls from different organizations for charitable donations, and I kind of pick from there. But some things strike my heart. Our town of Fairbanks has about 400-some homeless youth in it, and in negative 40 weather, that's not a good situation. So this last year, we've been funneling money into the at-risk youth of our neighborhood. And I'm looking at broader horizons. Burma has a ferocious thing going. The refugees behind enemy lines over there is just, it's insane. And what's going on in Syria right now, there are a lot of other parts of the nation that could use some help too. So Good Migration Studio will be expanding globally to help out all kinds of communities just besides locally.
What do you think you can do to help?
Well, number one, I'm certified to teach, so go over there and doing artwork with the kids, seeing a few smiles on their faces, and then raising awareness and money at the same time to funnel back into their country.
The paintings here are all yours, is that correct?
Yes.
What about some of the three-dimensional artwork?
This is all artifacts I've collected across travels in Alaska, a lot of from different the Yupik communities and other Eskimo communities within Alaska.
Do you ever paint anything that you see in terms of the three-dimensional? Do you ever then put it on canvas, so to speak, and paint it?
No, this is just a private collection. This was more to benefit an educational experience here in the community. I have a touch table over here with a beaver skin on it and a Yupik yo-yo and the Arctic fox and just some fun for the kids to have when they come into the gallery.
All right. What's the most unusual technique you've developed while being in Alaska?
I think the carved canvases would be top, and what I'm known for is painting at negative 40 with a vodka. That's definitely something original and something a little dangerous. I came into town with frostbite on my face, and my skin's just starting to heal from that. It's a little outside the boundaries, but the carved canvas is definitely something unique with machetes and ice axes. I don't know if that's done anywhere else not or yet not. So.
What about some of these, the paintings refer to it being splintered by the cold?
Yeah,
is that what you're talking about?
Now, there's honey inside the vodka paint, and sometimes the ice will travel through that. When it freezes, it makes really unique patterns. And they can actually be mapped at temperatures, too. If you notice the certificates, they're painted from negative 40 to negative 20, and you'll actually see the paintings change with the different types of levels of alcohol and honey within those paintings.
Will they change as they're hung indoors?
No, they're actually painted on Yupo, which is 100% polypropylene. It's a plastic. And it retains the memory. So a lot of times if you paint it on a piece of paper or anything else, it's going to thaw out and it's not going to, the crystals are going to disappear. You can actually see the crystals within the work and they're permanent. They've even hung these in bathrooms in some of my collectors' homes, and even with the humidity, the crystals have stayed inside the painting.
Do you sell a lot in Alaska, or do you sell when you go out to other places to exhibit?
It's primarily Alaska, but I'm moving into a national forefront. I'll move into New York and L.A. in this year, hopefully internationally in the next 2 years as I travel and do a few new things.
Anything you want to add?
No, I think you covered a lot of good questions there.
All right. Hey, thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you.